Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, my dear friends, welcome. Welcome to the Ultimate Guide for Safe Psychedelic Preparation. Today we have a special guest. I know you've been waiting for this. I have been waiting for this. I am so, so grateful to have my friend, my colleague, Dr. Arna Heisel. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's awesome. So I'm going to read your bio just so that people have a little bit of a sense of who you are. And then we'll get into the conversation. You can share your personal experience with your Kundalini awakening, your training, your professional work now, and then we'll open up for questions. All right. So welcome, everyone. Dr. Arna Heisel, PhD, is a former 25 plus year global healthcare leader who has worked as a health service researcher and health technology assessment specialist in more than 25 countries. He's turned into an energy healer, trauma release expert, a modern mystic, and higher states of consciousness expert, and a trainer, following a spontaneous spiritual or Kundalini awakening in 2016. His focus is on facilitating healings in non-substance-induced psychedelic states. And yes, you all know that we can get there, can't we? So the spontaneous Kundalini awakening radically turned Arna's perception of the world literally from 1 second to the next, upside down. The enormous amount of released energy caused significant health challenges, which, however, could not be treated by the established healthcare system. He experienced for about 18 months the dark night of the ego. I call it the dark night of the ego, not the dark night of the soul, because his old ego identification did not exist anymore. And the needed time to emerge while the Kundalini energy was addressing this deep-rooted trauma. I call it the dark night of the ego because it's really the dawn of the soul. The soul is coming online. So as a result of this awakening, Arna learned to feel, manage, and utilize subtle energy, his healing energy to turn on the good after he finally got a label for what was going on. The late Dr. Bonnie Greenwell, a worldwide authority in dealing with spiritual emergencies, was highly influential on his healing and his interest to dig deeper into the topic of states of consciousness and spiritual emergencies. Arna was part of a small group of healers who was trained by Dr. Greenwell on her legacy. Since then, he has helped many individuals in dealing with moderate to very severe spiritual crises. Additionally, he has facilitated several miraculous physical healings and serves clients in 4 different continents from all walks of life on a variety of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual health challenges, and guides a small group of people on their awakening journeys. Whew. There you have it. How cool is this? Arna, thank you so much for being here. Ever since we met back in 2019 during the brainwave training up in Pennsylvania, I've just been so blessed to be connected to you. I think we should just get started right away. Why don't you talk to us about this Kundalini awakening, your spontaneous spiritual awakening?
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrea, for the beautiful introduction. Yeah, I recognized myself, but haven't ever heard it from somebody else in that detail. So thank you so much. I want to start really with making sure that everybody knows that we will be working today or hearing today from a worldview which is post-material worldview. when we speak about these topics, our current in the Western domain dominating worldview, which is just focusing on the material worldview, is not sufficient to explain any of these phenomena, which I'm going to talk about today. Very recently, actually, ions in the medical network, the scientific and medicine network, together had a 1 hour recording, which I want you to watch. I want to recommend at least to watch it. I will put the information in the chat later on. But this is really very, very important, I guess, for everybody who's dealing with on believing in subtle energy, and that we are more than our human physical body, that we are subtle energy bodies as well. I will be speaking about spiritual emergence, but I don't want to scare here anybody. So yes, they can happen, but they do happen very rarely. And in the right hands, and that's why it's so important what Andrea said, we must become spiritual emergence informed, because then it's much safer. My own story, as Andrea said, really started with my birth, or actually my conception, as an unwanted child. And after birth, I was immediately separated from my mother, and I was then 5 months in a home before I got in a foster family, which thereafter adopted me. It was an upper middle class German family, and I felt I had a really nice upbringing. Everything was okay, everything was there, what I needed, yet I never felt accepted. I never felt that this is the world which makes sense to me, even not as a child, nor as an adult. There was always something missing. Of course, I guess most of the people here have some exposure to trauma or idea about trauma, being an unwanted child for 9 months in the womb, and then being immediately separated from your life source, the food source, and the love source is a big T trauma. I wasn't aware of this. If you would have asked me with age 46 if I have trauma, I would say, no, look at me. I'm super successful. My life is beautiful. I have everything what I need. I'm a good athlete. What do you talk about? That was so wrong, because trauma was talking to me all the time. And the way how trauma talks is through our body, but I had no access into the inner world of my body. So I was ignoring every single sign my body was giving me. And that ended up in a totally inflamed body, in a very sick body, in a super stressed body. Of course, I was stressed, because I was living on a fear of death. My subconscious, unconscious belief was that if I'm not good enough here in this world to be given away just after being born, I better perform. So I scanned my environment all the time. Who needs what from me? And I became a people pleaser, up to all the expectations my mother had, which was an academic career and this and this and this. So I really excelled in this world. I was the fastest here, the best there. I studied in Princeton and I had a wonderful career. But this motivation for these successes of the outer world was fear of death. And there is an opportunity to not have success in this life other than fear of death, and that is love. So the whole story which I'm going to share is from fear to love. And this love came into my life when I was 46. I was living in the Silicon Valley, beautiful area. I had everything which I needed. I was at the peak of my industry career, and I was CrossFitter, and I did everything which was just fun. And then after one of the CrossFit classes, they introduced a yoga class. It was a power yoga class for CrossFitters. It was not really a spiritual yoga class. And the teacher, she was stretching all people and loved the stretching. And thereafter I said to her, okay, can I do more yoga classes? And she said, no, I'm not doing yoga here. They call it yoga. Yoga is a spiritual practice. I said, well, are you stretching? She said, yeah, we do the practice like here. So okay, I'm in. And I booked three one-to-one sessions. And during the third one-to-one sessions, I was lying in Shavasana. And after 10 minutes, I was opening my eyes. And I said to her, yoga is so dangerous. She looked at me, wow, he's lying there, he's smiling. He's obviously in a really nice state. What do you mean? And I said, my whole worldview just changed. I had no ideas where these words were coming from, definitely not from my cognitive mind. So I was deep in an altered state. I was deeply connected to something in the outer world, which just decided if he continues living with this big T trauma, that won't work. So the time is now. Let's get the energy loose, the Kundalini energy loose, let him have an awakening experience. And I had this. And next morning, when I met with a friend, with a group of friends, I was sitting there and said, oh, did I belong to them? Did I talk like them? Is that the way how we see the world? Don't we get it that this world is in a mess? And now, 7 years later, it continued and it's getting worse and worse and worse. So I wasn't the old Arnie anymore. It's like Andrea said. It's kind of a dissolution of the ego. It's a dissolution of the ego, which is conditioned. And it's deeply conditioned. So, you probably have heard it already, there's epigenetics, which means we're passing on trauma from one generation to the next. Some say it's seven generations, other goes back to 21. I asked ChatGPT, what happened in the last. In the past 210 years, that's about seven generations in this world, which may be in my cells, in my subconscious and unconscious. There's quite a lot, as you can imagine. And then there is the trauma, which I learned during early childhood and so on. So, of course, I was not even close to be who I truly am. I was deeply, we all are. Deeply conditioned, and our ego is not free. And our access to the limitless experiences which we can have, if we get more and more access from our conditioned ego mind into the experience that we are more than our physical body, that we are also our subtle bodies with the opportunity to connect to realms. Which other people think they do not exist. So I had to live this life right now with this deconstruction. And my body was not at all ready for the energy. The Kundalini energy, the awakening energy in our body is strong. It's extremely strong. And it found all my stuck energy in the body. Trauma is stuck energy in the body. And it needed to be repaired. By this energy. And this was very, very difficult. I wasn't really fully functioning. I was sitting in the dark for 4 or 5 hours sometimes. I was still working. I had a small startup company together with my wife, which was really still successful. So I was not totally not functioning, but I needed breaks. And I still needed to see what's going on. And the most important part of that is I needed to learn discernment. Because the manifestation of that energy in my body, finding stuck energy and trying to release stuck energy, was manifesting as symptoms, which, if I would have gone to a medical doctor, not informed about what was going on in my body, I would have gone to the emergency room pretty much every day. And that was inner kind of felt sense, an inner knowing that I don't have to go, that I can trust myself with this body, no matter what it is. I had a sense of it's a good thing and it's for you. So the surrendering, and it was not conscious, nothing from about what I'm talking about was conscious. The surrendering into this is the most loving energy which exists was helping me from being on strong medicines or being as an inpatient psychiatric unit or being almost bankrupt because I'm seeing the emergency room every single day. So this is very important for us to know that if we have a Kundalini awakening, which cannot unfold through all the chakras and get out, and we are in this bliss. The moments often of these awakenings are totally blissful. But thereafter, it really decides what's going on. For some, it stays in the bliss. And for people like me, it definitely didn't. So I now had to always discern what to do. And I was lucky that the universe, maybe not lucky, I believe the universe does that for everybody, takes care of people with that experience. So I was looking for for help, and I read a book. And when I read books and I like books, I call the author. So I called the author, and she, the author, became my therapist. She was a transpersonal trained psychiatrist. And she had herself had a Kundalini awakening. So after 4 or 5 sessions, she said, "Give me more details. What happened?" And she said, "I believe you had a Kundalini awakening." And she said, "You may want to find somebody who really knows even more. I had my own, but I'm not specialized in this." And then the name came up, Bonnie Greenwald. So I Googled and I found Bonnie Greenwald was so excited that there is somebody, but she was already not having clients anymore. And then she said, "Okay, where do you live?" And I said, "In Santa Cruz, California." And so, "Where exactly?" I said the address. She said, "You're less than a mile away from me. I'm right now here. So if you want to come and see me, come." I mean, that's the intelligence of the universe. So I went there and she helped me to understand about everything I wanted to know and needed to know. Number one is you're safe. Number two is, yes, you need good discernment because the symptoms which you have may be real symptoms which need treatment in the medical system. So she was very clear that there is no easy answer to go into the medical system or not. And I continued to trust that because I had it already for a couple of months. So I continue to trust I'm not going. But I'm the last one, also with 25 years experience in the traditional healthcare system, who would say, "Don't go there. They're bad," or anything like this. They may save our life. So this is kind of a discernment which we need. But if they don't find something, if we go there again and again, then we can be pretty sure that we can trust our own body and probably find somebody else who has experience with it, who had lived through this, who have studied it, who understands what it is. Bonnie Greenwell has about 50, I think about 50,000 people with experiences, and so it's a small number in total. But it's a relevant number, especially for the N as one who is just experiencing it. So, with having the label, with telling me a few things what to do or not to do, which was important because I was continuing to meditate, I was continuing to do some other things, I was continuing to do some activating stuff. That was not the right thing for me. Because any additional energy was too much. There was too much for me. The energy in my body was too much to be handled. And And she helped me to really discern energy, to embody, to feel my body, to learn about my body. Where is the energy? What does it need? To talk to the energy. It's a little bit like the internal family system discussion with your organs or with body parts. And now we're going to discussion with the energy. And this discussion is not really verbally. It's an intuitive discussion. It's an intuitive feeling. And once I went out of this with her help and with practices and changes I did, my life became, of course, completely different. Everything which was not there anymore. And they were now in archetypal language. There were new archetypes. I was a new person, not in my body, but definitely in my belief system, in my external and internal vibrational field. And this vibrational field was felt then by other people around me. And they were saying, wow, I love to be closer to you. This feels safe. And that is where people started to say, well, you are, I mean, it's Santa Cruz, California, I'm talking about. There are so many healers. They are, you are also a healer. I said, no, 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 I'm not. But I got curious, and then I started to work with a theta healer. And they help you to go into the subconscious mind in a pretty effective way. And I thought, I wanted to know how they fool me, because I couldn't believe that this is possible. And only for that reason, I signed up for a class. And then in the class, in the first or second exercise, I was suddenly connected to spirit. And I was, okay, there's some entity which claims that this is the mother of this guy I'm talking to right now. And we were forced almost to say everything what we hear or feel. So I was very, very careful about that initially. But the information which I got just after the first three or four words were so intense for the person I was working with that I felt there must be something true. And I could see the person walking downstairs, and I said, well, this is what happened. This is how the stairs looked like. And it was exactly how that actually was in their home. So I had an experience where this is all true, and then denied it, because I was still somewhat the scientist, the trained scientist in everything is material. And I, again, the universe works this way, was forced and forced again in people saying, oh, I want a healing from you, and I know you're doing this, and I had people queuing up when we were in groups. And I said, okay, I'm doing this. And the successes were really great, but I didn't trust it. And I needed to see proof. And this is where I met Andrea, because the proof I got is when I found this Institute of the Awakened Mind. And the Institute of the Awakened Mind is based on is working the history of Max Cade, who started to measure brains, healthy brains, and what he called awakened minds, the most awakened minds from Zen masters, healers, yogis, and so on. So he wanted to know, how does this brain look like? And so he knew, and from there, they looked at this and said, okay, if these are the healer states, we know how consciousness for healers looks like. And I wanted to know if that's true. So I was there my first week, and the score I achieved of this awakened mind and healer state was enormous. And thereafter, I also worked with a few people where I was hooked up with the EEGs and the other people, the other person. And when I send in healing, my state of consciousness, my brain waves completely shifted, and that immediately entrained to the person I was working with. So I now had some proof that this energy, no matter if I touch this person or whatever happens, that this energy entrains from my brain or the consciousness from my brain to the other. And this is where healing happens. And these healings can be deep, deep trauma healings. These deep healings can be past life regressions. These healings can be, and there were several spontaneous healings of very, very sick people, including cancer, including my own healing. I was getting really sick. I was on a vacation in Hawaii, Kauai, and I had a deep vein thrombosis from my hip to the foot, and from there a pulmonary embolism exactly at the saddle. So both my lung and my heart wasn't really getting oxygen anymore. I was rushed into the emergency room, and they were extremely scared that I will not make it. They informed my wife already that the chances may not be that high. But they said, we probably would have to fly you out into a specialized clinic, but this flight is 10 hours, so it's not even safe. So they say, you need to decide. I say, I stay here. Because what they also said is, all your physical measurement are 100%. So you have good oxygen, you have good blood pressure, you have good pulse. That doesn't make sense. It's not possible. I didn't want to tell them why I think it does make sense, because I was meditating all the time in my ICU bed. And then I survived that nicely. And after discharge, they said, well, we have to, you please go to a medical doctor within 4 or 5 days and make sure that there's any improvement with the blood clots, because you're on high medicines. If there's no improvement, go immediately to a top university hospital and get it sorted out there, hopefully. When I was getting for that check, the technician did an ultrasound with a leg, and she got extremely nervous. And that wasn't really helpful for me. And she said, I need to get out of the room. I need to go to get the doctor. And that took about 20 minutes. And I was lying there and said, oh my God, this doesn't feel good here. And she came back and he looked at me and said, no, it's the right patient. She thought there's the wrong patient, because there was not a single amount of a blood clot in my whole body. And that's not possible in their world. So then I explained what happened, and they said, we have no better explanations, and it's in the doctor discharge letter. And a few doctors right now are working with me, or actually sending their patients if they don't know what to do with them anymore. So we cannot deny that deep altered states of consciousness are real. So as I said, I went into an emergence, 18 months. If I had probably found people like Bonnie even earlier, I think it would have been much, much shorter. And since I'm working as an energy healer, and I do have people coming with spiritual emergence to me, and I noticed that, at least with those I've worked with yet, that the energy healing modality is the most powerful modality to work with somebody who has an energy crisis in his or her body. And I want to speak a little bit about this, because you can find this in Stanislav Grof's book, in other books. There's so much about how to deal with this, also Bonnie Greenwald's books. But sometimes I just open up a book by chance. This page is exactly what I'm supposed to talk about. I opened up, in preparation a few days ago, Stanislav Grof's book, and it says possession. So possession by different entities, possession by energies, can be one of the spiritual emergences. And this is probably the most, or among the most serious ones. This can lead to a complete change of the personality. A kind person can become or have murderous thoughts. There's huge relationship with suicidal thoughts. And another type and a long list of symptoms which are really scary. When I wasn't even talking about that I'm working with possessions. And I never wanted to work with possessions, but people who have possessions now often find me. And I have no website on this. I have no nothing. I'm not talking about it. So there seems to be energy fields that some people can still find me. There are other people doing this too, but it's the biggest surprise for me was it typically takes about 20 minutes to work with a possession. And I may have not had yet cases which may be even severe, more severe than those I had, but those I had were severe. All what it needed was to work with whatever this is, energy or entity, with a state where I'm going into a state of unconditional love and no judgment. And I'm then connecting with that state to this energy, to this dark energy. And all this energy wants is love. So I have no doubt that when we say love heals, that it can do this at any dimension for any problem. I'm not always in a state where miraculous things happening. So I sometimes also have to go slower with clients, or I don't get them out of their monkey mind. But in about 90% of the cases, we're going there. But when we work with possessions, there's no room for failure in losing your own state. So this is where it is important that we learn to be in different states of consciousness. We sometimes want to be in an ordinary state. We sometimes want to be in a healing state. We want to, sometimes to be in the state where we really are in a superconscious mind state, where we can hold even the energy for those entities. So imagine now you would know somebody who tells you about an emergence. And as Andrea said, you don't have to go to and take substances, or you don't have to do hyperventilation breath work to get a Kundalini awakening. It can just, like in my story, come out of nowhere. It can come from sexual intercourse. It can come from a deep, peaceful meditation. When we are ready, it does come. So those people, now you can probably imagine from what I said, if they have to go into the material limited, still very important, existing healthcare system, they have not been taken care of the right way. And that's why this spiritual emergence informed care is so important. Because we do not know how many people really are affected by this, because most of them will be treated in the traditional system. And I hope that there will be the day when the traditional system and people like myself work together. I would like to see these people being also been taken care in the system, but then a medical doctor would also consult with an energy healer in understanding if the medicine or if whatever treatment they do is best, or if we may want to do, as the first kind of treatment, trying to work for half an hour together. And then there, if that doesn't work at all, they can do whatever they want. But we are forgiving here opportunities, and I want to generalize that most often, these healers, like myself and Andrea, and the medical system are not really working together. And Andrea is a medical doctor, so for her, it's a different story. But for most people, we are either healers or we are trained medical doctors in the other system, and we are dividing each other. We're separating each other. We are judging each other. That's an unhealthy approach. So the key message here really is, when this energy comes into our body, or it is in our body, releases the stored energy, releases within our body, it is the most loving energy out there. So there's nothing to be scared about. There is a moment of surrender, but there's also a moment of new intelligence. And that's why I mention so often, the universe does take care of us if we are open for that, if we are listening to how does the universe speaks to me. And I want to go a little bit broader on this right now, because I believe this is what we really need to learn, no matter what. And if you're engaged in the psychedelic industry, you are on this path already. I was just talking at the World Economic Forum on mental health in a site meeting at the big stage. And what was also coming clear from the World Economic Forum is the role of artificial intelligence and the uncertainty, the chances, the tremendous risks. And we will not know in the future, most probably anymore. There was a conclusion there, what is true and what is not true, unless we learn to listen to our body and feel into intuition. So that is something, because artificial intelligence can fool us, but it can't fool our energy body. So learning and mastering how we purify our subconscious mind, and how we get into more through trauma work, through psychedelics, through whatever modality we do. I don't care, as long as we do something in our inner work. So, as long as we learn to listen to the signs of the body, we will have good discernment and judgment. So in the past, when I was speaking about what I'm doing with the awakened mind and how we train it and how we learn to master going from different states of consciousness and others, depending on where we want to be, I really believe that this type of training becomes more important, so that we can make the best out of artificial intelligence. On the other hand, even at the Worldwide Economic Forum, they were not speaking about spirituality, they were speaking about mental health. But the methodologies they were suggesting, you cannot divide what they're doing from spirituality. So, yes, we're not talking about it openly right now, at least not at in the global context, which I experienced there. But we're doing the practices. So that's a good first step. And I hope that one day we will be really opening up and really losing our fear in our thinking, conditioned mind, that spirituality is something bad or just for a little group of esoteric people. It's our life. And it's the more important part of life, because that's dealing with our internal, eternal being, and not with this chosen lifetime. I'm working also in my practice, the signature is my energy healing, where I'm just me and in a different state of consciousness. I'm not doing anything. But sometimes I love also to do something. And there I'm working often with sound, and I have meditations or sound, just sound, which goes into the extremes of what our brainwave can do in the very, very slowest and the very, very fastest, from epsilon to lambda. And in these, when I listen and when clients listen to these meditations and we measure them with the EEGs, they are getting into super conscious states of healing. So we do not necessarily need substances, but often it helps. Or we use music with audio visual. So we have flickering in our eyes of 40 hertz, and 40 hertz is a very healing and very often discussed now in dementia and Alzheimer treatment, formal treatment, brainwave. So there's so much coming in the substance psychedelics. There's so much coming in what we call the technodelics. So, and we are just here at the beginning. But it's a really promising world if we go inside, learn about our inner world, if we expand. So with that, I guess I want to open it up. I could speak probably for a few more hours, but open up for questions and comments from your side.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful to hear. I see Adam has got his hand up, and then John, you'll be next. But I want to first ask a question, Arna, if you would. Give us a sense when you said that, for 9 months or so, you were just out of it. Like you mentioned being with friends and kind of thinking like, oh my God, was I like that? But what were the other symptoms that you had in that early period? Just so that we can get a clearer sense.
Yeah, I had arrhythmia, but not diagnosed, but constant arrhythmia, had constant heart and chest pain, extreme heart and chest pain. I had energy coming into my body, which was painful in pretty much every area. And this was super painful. And I had a deep, deep undercurrent sadness. So this is why I was still functioning, because I was accepting the arrhythmia as it's safe, and I was accepting all this, but this underlying sadness, depression, that was the most limiting part, and this is why I needed so much breaks to recover, and I couldn't do well with people because I was so sensitive with the energy. And my field was so open, so I was picking up so much energy. Now I learn that I don't need to pick it up. But at that time, I didn't know how to do it. So I was a super empath with really absorbing all negative energies from others. And that is draining. I couldn't sleep, almost couldn't sleep. 2 or 3 hours were a good night's sleep for a long time. And, but again, this progressed as soon as I had the right help.
Got it. Thank you for that. So, Adam in Knoxville, you're first, then John, then Violet, then Rashmi. We'll get as many in as we can until the top of the hour. Adam?
Thank you. I'll be brief. First, I want to thank you so much for being here and speaking to us and sharing your story. I was really, really moved, and I loved you call authors when you read a book. I've never considered that, but it makes so much sense. I mean, these people have shared something, they probably want to talk about it. And really, what I heard you say is what you have to do is ask. And so I will ask a question of you. How does a relatively informed person start to learn to connect to this energy and release it from within our bodies?
Can you, sorry, can you repeat the question?
I don't know anything about this world of which you're speaking. I don't know how to connect to that energy, and I would love to learn. How do I start learning?
Okay. I guess you can start with convincing yourself that there's already inside you. So we don't really need to learn, we need to remember. But how do we remember? That's, I think, the more important question. And I think awareness helps a lot. So if you walk around with a higher awareness, looking at people, looking at trees, looking at animals, and start really seeing if you can connect with an animal, with a tree, with a person. And it may not happen the first time, but you do know it's already inside your body, but we are conditioned not to feel it. So this could be practice, but also, of course, meditations would help in getting more body awareness. And then there are many training classes. I started initially with Eckhart Tolle and trying to be more present, and this is amazing. And it's difficult, but it's constant practice. And then I went into theta healing, where they help you with getting into a conscious state and subconscious. I would probably say, and I'm saying this here publicly, but because I really believe in it. This is a 3-day class, and you sign you have a certificate, have a certificate of being a healer. That I'm a bit skeptic unless we really get our natural qualities up there. So I'm careful with saying call yourself a healer that early, but these are modalities where we've been learn where we learn to get into our subconscious mind. I also benefited in the beginning. That's not my world on anymore, but in the beginning, a lot of reading books from Joe Dispenza, and breathing techniques which they're using. So there's so much out there, but the remembering that's already inside you, that you actually all you need to do is nothing, and with nothing I mean to get our monkey mind still, and in that moment we heal. But there are modalities, as I said, theta healing, many others. I mostly benefited from a class, actually, it was a 9-month apprenticeship program with Cindy Dale. She's 20 or 30, 28 or 30 books right now on energy healing. She's a really big authority in this field. I think she's giving classes with the Shift Network. That helped me a lot as well. Yeah. And I practice every single day a few hours.
John, you're up.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, we can hear
There we
you.
go. If I could just make a comment on it, I think the short I've come from a sort of scientific look and ended up in spirituality as you get up into the highest quantum stuff, and it's, I mean, nothing that we perceive. You guys look at me, I'm a 77-year-old man, so on and so forth. I'm not really here. You're seeing entangled energy that creates what I look like and what you guys perceive, and all of you perceive it differently. So which one is real? Okay, you have to sort of come to the conclusion. None of them are real universally. So if you accept that, then you can start accepting the nature of spirituality. But I think the shortest way for me is saying that if you have I lovingly intend and actively engage and genuinely trust that I will open up to energy, that I will have whatever you want in the future. We can change time. Our conscious being is part of the universal consciousness that has created all of this. And it continues to change. When I was 11, I saw an image of what they considered at one point the universe, which was the Milky Way and a little bit beyond. And I was crushed at 11 in sixth grade. I mean, like, what? And I'm like, and then I comforted myself and I said, oh, wait a minute. We're in a technological stage where they will continue to see more and more and more stars. And have they ever? Okay, with the last web. I mean, it's okay. So I'm a strange guy and I'm talking to you in strange ways, but I had a very similar, aren't I? My mother was a registered nurse. Wore a girdle until I was born, only gained 9 pounds. I was 8.5 of those pounds, not counting placenta and everything else. So I wasn't wanted in the most serious way. And then I found out my aunt, the reason I'm healthy and I can love and try to pass on a lot of ideas and this pioneering science, well, it's not science, pioneering spirit, okay, that we're looking at all this stuff. The bottom line is I was loved for 1 year, and that saved me in an amazing way. And all of us are a collection, as most of us know, of different things. But I wanted to ask you one thing. You were so concise and so well-spoken in what you said. Have you written anything? Can I look you up and find something written about that you've written?
Thank you for your feedback and also the input. You're not a strange person. Unfortunately, I'm not a good writer. So I have not written anything except on my webpage a tiny little bit, but not really at the point where I am. The other reason is every time when I started to write something, I got a new upgrade and yeah. Oh, it's obsolete. So I'm not a good person in saying, well, it's for most people would be already very interesting. So I'm always waiting until, so I probably will never, I don't know, but I will go right now. I'm in transition from hobby and mouth to mouth referral to really making this my business and my passion at the same time. So there will be more on YouTube. There will be more in public field, but I'm unfortunately a horrible writer.
All right, we're going to move on to Violet so that we can hopefully get everyone in. Thank you for the question, John. Violet?
Yes, hi. I'm driving my daughter to preschool, so I'm sorry I can't be on video right now. I have a personal question and then a more professional question. So I had my bigger, you know, awakenings, and now it feels like it's just kind of this current of energy that's taking me wherever it wants to take me. Through my dream states, through my waking life, you know, flashes of past lives. And so when it's in a more like integrative state and it's not quite so severe, how do you find community and resources and support? That's my first question.
Yeah, and excellent, because we do need community and we do need support. So it depends certainly where you live, but I guess if you're also open for Zoom, there are a lot of groups right now which offer meditation meetings and spiritual satsangs. And there's, in most of these cities, I believe we have that. And if you don't find it in your city, then there's definitely a lot also which is online. So I will come back to you because it's a bit more in detail. If you send me an email, and I put my email in the chat as heisel2017@gmail.com, I will get a little bit more deeper into that, if that would be okay.
Yes, because it's specifically about people who've gone through awakening. It's not just, I mean, not to sound hoity-toity or something, but I've felt very lonely in my experiences and in this journey. And then the second part, which is both for myself and for my clients, is that I feel like once you get through a lot of the trauma and the exiles, to use IFS language, then there's like this door to the transpersonal that opens, and it's not just ancestral energy, it's past lives or parallel lives. And like, how do you begin? Maybe it's your own theta healing. I've been using IFS and Reiki, but how do you work with your own and others, parallel lives, future lives? It's beyond archetypal energy when it comes up.
Yeah. So I'm not using theta healing anymore at all, but it is, I'm also Reiki and other modalities trained. So right now it's what I just find is get out of our own way, get into our heart and expand that energy. We do not have time to go really deeper, but I want to, then I can announce this because you asked for it. Bonnie Greenwell did have these communities, especially for awakening issues, and I will continue what she did, and we'll start with that latest on March 1st. So if you let me know if you're interested, that would be one. There are definitely probably other offerings.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I do want to mention, I did find there's a guy, Bob Falconer. I don't know if you've worked with him, but he is just starting to do work with IFS and parts, past lives, and also possessions. And so I find this field fascinating, and just so grateful to meet you. And thank you for all your wisdom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Violet. It's nice to see you and hear you. So Rashmi, are you still there? Are you still available, or did you disappear?
I'm here. Can you see me?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, perfect. My Wi-Fi was in and out. This has been amazing. Thank you so much. And I wanted to, I know we don't have much time. Actually, the questions that were asked were basically what I was thinking as well. I've definitely had experiences like this for probably over a decade or so personally. And it was actually very lonely being in the medical system. I'm a practicing medical doctor. And just most recently, I was just thinking about how I didn't share this with anyone. Just 3 days ago, I was gardening and a snake bit me. And I live in Florida and we have poisonous snakes on my toe. And I, you know, kind of came in, my husband knew, so he was freaking out. He's also a physician. And he was like, you know, trying to figure out, you know, if we wanted to go, which hospital and whatnot. And then I was like, let me just lay here and let me, and we looked and it was a pygmy rattlesnake. And so I was able to just lay down and just picture and do a meditation. And like the toe, it was on my toe. It was on my second toe. It just, within like probably 20 minutes, sort of resolved itself. Like, and then we went out to eat, like everything was normal. So it's like, and I'm like, I'm not going to tell anybody that. So it's things like that, that I think is just really fun and interesting. I don't know what to make of it. So, I mean, I have no scientific evidence for any of it, obviously, but I just wanted to share that. And I guess my real question is, I have, you know, there's the material world that you talked about, right? And then there's kind of this world where we're like, this is silly. Like, why are we playing this game? But I'm deep inside this game in terms of I have kids who are growing up. I have some obligations to my elderly parents that require that I play in this game to provide for, you know, this thing that I have set up. It's not a bad thing. It's not like I'm, there's no greed involved in any of these things, but I still feel a pull away from it. But I guess it's that messy middle path. And so I wonder if you could say a couple of words about that.
Yeah, so I will be brief due to time, but I'm working with a few parents, or quite a few, and their nervous system stability and their state of consciousness is extremely important for a healthy upbringing. I mean, especially in this world with all the distractions. So I don't see there really a conflict. I mean, if you are in a deep crisis, yes, this is a conflict because then it's harder to take care of your family. But where you are, this is an incredible opportunity to help your people to be in a field of safety. And that's what we all want to be all the time. And so I think this is a gift for your family, a gift for your friends, and a gift for yourself.
I agree. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, my friends, we are at the top of the hour. Sincere gratitude and thanks to you, Arna. So lovely to connect. So grateful for you sharing so openly what you've experienced. I invite everyone to check him out online. Maybe we can convince him to come back sometime. Maybe we can convince him to, you know, host some videos as well, because I'm sure there are more questions, especially the questions about past lives and parallel lives, because I know that you have that gift. So thank you. Thank you, Arna. I so appreciate
you. Thank you for having me. Thank you, everybody. It was such a pleasure to meeting you, and love the collective field which you created here today. Thank you.
All right, my friends. Well, I will see you in February for Sacred Psychedelic Saturday, for those of you who care to join, or the Real Self-Love Movement. Sending you tons of love from the south of France. Thank you for being here. And if
All
you're
the
watching
best.
On the replay, thank you. Love, love,
Thanks
love.
Again. All the best.
Thanks for listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.